And the worse you feel, the more you go after the food that makes you feel worse. I mean, if so many people are not happy, I mean, people are anxious, this is all serotonin and GABA, which like 90-95% of it's regulated and created in our gut. So all our happy hormones and our anti-anxiety hormones start in our gut, not in our brain. They just work on the brain, but the drugstore is the gut.
Welcome to Your Health Reset, where we address the real root causes behind health issues today to get you rapid results on your health journey so you can be who you came here to be, mind, body, and spirit. I'm your host, Sinclair Keneally, survivor of complex chronic illness, expert on resolving root causes, and co-founder of Detox Rejuvenation and Meditation RX. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of Your Health Reset. Today, I am joined by my very good friend, Dr. Tuan Moorcroft, to have a really in-depth conversation with you about what it takes to take your health back into your own hands. Dr. Tom is a specialist of Lyme disease and all tick-borne disease-related issues, and he's really carved out a niche for himself of being the guy that can figure you out if allopathic medicine and functional medicine cannot. His wait list is endless. He has so much to give to this space, and he and I actually created Meditation RX together. So that's our platform to help folks who are working on health issues to use meditation and self-awareness practices to speed up their healing. So today we dive into all things health related, taking it back into your own hands and what it takes to actually be present and utilize your own consciousness to do so. I can't wait to share. Welcome back to another interview. It starts in the Gut Summit with me, your host, Sinclair Keneally, and I am here today with my very good friend, Dr. Tuan Mark. What's your name? Have we met? Dr. Tom Moorcroft. Dr. Tom, please introduce yourself and share what your expertise is with our very special listeners.
Thanks so much for having me here, Sinclair. This is such an honor, and I'm an osteopathic family medicine person and kind of do a lot of chronic Lyme disease, chronic tick-borne infections, a lot of mold toxicity, and I see a ton of kids with, you know, infection and toxin-induced autoimmune encephalitis that most people know as PANS and PANDAS. So, you know, we're just doing our best to help people turn their life around and regain their health.
Yeah, and you really are at the top of your field. So it's so fun to have you talk with us in depth today about where all of these conditions become available to us in the body and how they actually take shape and get a hold and how we actually can walk ourselves out of that and take charge of our own health. And I would love to start with your story because it's so interesting to me. And I think a lot of our listeners can relate. So how did you get into this work?
I remember a couple things. And as a kid, I just wanted to play outside. I just wanted to go have a good time and enjoy life. And looking back, there's this one TV show. I don't even know what it was. I just remember there's chaos in this thing that turned out to be the emergency room. And everybody's like, you know, the shit's hitting the fan. And this guy walks in and he just goes, this, and stabilizes everything. And I was like, wow, that is so cool. If that's real, I'd love to do that someday. And then I got totally distracted, as I'm sure you'll find really surprising about me. And I went and did a lot of outdoor education work. And I was at the University of Vermont studying, you know, landscape ecology and wildlife management, and really just trying to figure out how we can save the planet and have it around for future generations. And I figured talking to adults is not a good idea because they don't really listen. They already have their opinion. So I started teaching kids. And then I was teaching kids at this amazing place. It's called the Carey Institute in Millbrook, New York, doing a lot of really cool work, teaching them outside how to really fall in love with nature and to learn. And then I remember one day that I was sitting there and my boss comes up to me and is like, what the hell's wrong with you? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you haven't gotten any work done in like the last week and a half. And I'm like, I'm here like 10 hours a day. What do you mean? And she goes, look, just get this one project done. I need it done. I'm going to check on you in an hour. And an hour later, she comes back to see me staring at a wall, literally drooling on myself. And the cursor hadn't moved on the screen. And so obviously at this point, she said, hey, you probably should go see a doctor. And I was like, well, that's good. And this is back in the day of rotary phones. And I was actually telling a friend of mine that I was going to go see my parents' doctor. And they're like, well, can I call you when you get back? Right. Because I was on the phone. I had called them, but no caller ID. They asked me for my phone number and I didn't know what it was, despite it was on the rotary phone right in front of my face. I literally was blank. And so the long and the short of it was I got diagnosed with Lyme. I was told that, you know, doxycycline, 10 days, I'll be good to go. I laid on the floor for 4 days, shaking, sweating, parents taking me to the bathroom. 10 days later, I felt kind of okay. And over the next 8.5 years, I was super sick, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, a whole bunch of different psych diagnoses that ended up getting thrown out. And in the end, it just turned out that, you know, they had not effectively treated the Lyme disease and they missed the babesiosis. And that's kind of the start of it all.
So interesting how that happens. I think that your journey is really compelling. Obviously, I relate to it, you know, in my own journey, but so many of us who have gone on the Lyme journey and co-infections, it's such a struggle to get an accurate diagnosis. And then, you know, the co-infections are missed and the path is really long and painful. So how did you manage this for yourself?
About 6 years into everybody telling me it's in my head, and I'm like, no, there's something physically wrong with me. And the reason I'm angry and want to kick your ass is because you put your head in it. I came in and I said I had joint pain, brain fog, and fatigue. And they're like, you have joint pain, brain fog, and fatigue. I was like, well, thank you. What did I just pay you for? And they gave me no hope. So I remember very clearly one day, I was just in South Portland, Maine. I was in the middle of medical school. And I was just like, I have shit to do. I was recently married. Like, I wanted a family. I loved playing outside. I was being able to do less and less of that. And I just had this vision of having a family, playing outside, skiing, hiking, mountain biking, all the things I love to do, playing ultimate frisbee, the dogs. And I was like, there's no way in my early 20s that I'm giving up on this thing. And then one day somebody handed me a yoga DVD and I'm like, where'd this come from? I just know that's for people who are not like me because I was totally inflexible. And I was just like, it's too much of a coincidence to actually be a coincidence. I started doing this yoga program that turned out to be Ashtanga yoga. And I learned when you dove into it, it was movement on breath, not what most people think about Ashtanga and power yoga, which is like push it until something rips, right? And be competitive. It was really about learning to listen to your body. And being somebody who was all ADHD and I was super hypercortisol, I was just fighting for my life. I needed something to help calm my nervous system. And I got into it through this movement on breath. And then ultimately, I just remember going, I just had a soda and it doesn't taste good. My family, we grew up like Coca-Cola was a food group, right? You know, my grandmother had a half a can for lunch and a half a can for dinner. And I was in school, right? And so I'm like having, and I feel like crap. So I'm having like 2 liters a day. Lo and behold, it turns out that having like 2 liters of Coke and a 6-pack of beer a night is not good for you, right?
I mean, like, shocking.
Who knew?
Breaking news.
Doing yoga, and really it was more of a breath awareness practice for me, and calming my nervous system allowed me to listen to my body where it was saying, stop eating all this crap. And so I started to radically change my diet just by listening to my body. And as we were talking earlier, it's like, I never had outward gut symptoms, right? But I had no energy, no matter how much I slept, 4 hours, 12 hours, it didn't matter. I couldn't think. I literally couldn't do at one point 2 + 3 in my head, right? And I just laugh at that. And everything hurt, like literally. And if Jill touched my arm, it would feel like somebody shoved a lightsaber into my skull. And I'm like, which is really great when you're first married, you know, hey, I love you. Don't touch me, you know? The more I got in the meditation and it became a moving meditation for me, and the more my nervous system, I allowed it to calm down by just allowing the breath to teach me, my body innately didn't want to eat all this junk. And then a ton of these outward manifestations of my crappy gut and my underlying Lyme and babesiosis started to go away. And about 2.5 years into that transition to actually working with the natural forces in my body, I ran into the doctors who I needed help from to get all the way done. But I was 70% better with yoga, meditation, dietary change, and I was in osteopathic medical school, so we did a lot of treatments on each other. But no medicines, no herbs, didn't know anything about any of it. It was literally, I started to heal from the inside out, and it turns out in retrospect, a ton of it was focusing on my gut.
This is so interesting because I think for you and I, both coming from the Lyme fibromyalgia journey, I had the opposite experience with my gut where everything hurt. I was constantly nauseous and I looked 6 months pregnant. It's almost easier of a path because you can point at it and go, oh, okay, something's really weird here. Yeah, this one right here, this sucks. So talk to us about the science behind how these dietary changes and these internal shifts that you made with breath work really started relieving stress in the gut and actually allowing your body to rebuild. I think that would be really interesting for people.
This is one of my favorite topics because I went into medical practice. I was going to do osteopathic treatments, really focus on the cranial sacral and the energy systems of the body and get paid to meditate. That was literally my goal in life, was to get paid to meditate while helping other people. And then all these Lyme people came in and I was like, oh my God, this is really interesting. The more I dove into this, the more I got interested in where I came from, because I knew I could learn to help other people. And one of the first things that everybody tells me is, oh, I need a drug that crosses the blood-brain barrier. So I was like, well, that's a really interesting thought. Why don't we look into your blood-brain barrier? And I dove into some of the research on memory and the blood-brain barrier and all this. And one of the first things you find is that if you take a mouse and you feed it the mouse equivalent of a standard American diet, you will have all kinds of inflammation in the gut. You'll create leaky gut. You'll get bigger pieces of particles that are supposed to stay in your gut and get broken down more into your bloodstream. You get all these endotoxins created. And then you'll basically go up through the brain, break down the blood-brain barrier just by eating bad food. And then you will annihilate your hippocampus. So you're going to ruin your ability to create and retrieve memories. And you're going to be emotionally dysregulated just from your diet. And that's just looking at what gets through the gut wall, right? So this is a leaky gut phenomenon. The other thing that we find with the gut is that the vagus nerve from the gut to the brain has a lot to do with a couple things. And part of it is that hippocampus limbic system we all talk about. So those emotional interactions and these emotional memories and our ability to create short and long-term memories, retrieve things quickly. How many people are it takes me so much longer to do things. I can't remember them. I know them, but I can't pull them up, right? Mm-hmm. This is so much of this vagus. And what's really interesting is if you leave out the physical leaky barrier of the gut wall not working and you just go to the microbiome, changes in the microbiome will change how the vagus nerve is able to interact with both that limbic system and your prefrontal cortex, which has a lot of your social mores and memory capacity. And then we run into all kinds of problems.
Let's pause here for a second, because this is so fascinating. And for people who are still catching up to what these terms are, can you just quickly define vagus nerve and limbic and prefrontal cortex?
Yeah, sometimes we get so excited, we just start going and going and going.
Weird out, it's true.
Right. And so, really, when we look at the vagus nerve, this is cranial nerve 10, and it comes out at the back of the base of the skull. So a lot of us with that really tight upper neck and the protruding forward, because we're on our stuff, know that spot, right? Yeah, exactly. We're on our tablets too much. We're driving all pissed off. But the vagus nerve controls a lot of things. And one of the things it controls is the function of the gut. In fact, everything below your diaphragm in your gut and your abdominal organs, the upper two-thirds are controlled by the vagus nerve. So it really is a parasympathetic nerve that calms things down. For you to digest food well, you need to be in a rest and digest parasympathetic state. For your immune system to work really well, it has to work. And then a lot of us are aware of this thing we call the solar plexus region. And a lot of us science nerds call it the enteric nervous system, but you could call it the second brain. There is literally a completely autonomous nervous system in three places in your body. One of them's in your brain, one of them's in your gut, and the other one, which is probably most important, is your heart. And so those three areas are really important, because the other place that the vagus nerve goes and controls is your heart. And what it does is it allows your heart to relax. So if your heart is beating too high on a regular basis, which I don't know too many chronically ill people who don't have that problem, then we talk about it like a sympathetic overdrive, right? So some people are talking about their adrenals and their sympathetics, and some people are talking about their palpitations or their skip beats. So much of it is controlled by the vagus nerve. So that's a big part of it. And then up in the brain, we have this whole kind of area that we call the limbic system. It's so much of the emotional mind. Part of it's called the amygdala, where we store fear memories and we react to things. But it's also involved in absolutely everything that's going on in our body. So we do end up with this situation where we're looking at learning, short-term memory, spatial processing, our ability to navigate through space. The prefrontal we were talking about, a lot of it has to do with complex information, processing, planning, social mores. So you see this kind of fall apart in people with advanced Alzheimer's where like the old guy's out at dinner and he pees himself and just kind of laughs, you know, because he doesn't know that it's an issue, right? And it's really not for him. But so much of it has to do with memory and space. But part of this limbic system even has to do with metabolism, sleep, and feeding behaviors. So then when we start to see this off, it's kind of like you get in a feed-forward loop, right? And feed-forward loops are usually bad. What I mean by that is like, let's say you eat some food that breaks down your gut, then it goes to your brain and it messes with the part of your brain called the hypothalamus and it changes your feeding behavior. That then in turn goes back to your gut and allows you to like do things that are not healthy for your gut. And you just keep getting in this loop. So the worse food you eat, the more you want the bad food. And the worse you feel, the more you go after the food that makes you feel worse. I mean, if so many people are not happy, and when people are anxious, this is all serotonin and GABA, which like 90-95% of it's regulated and created in our gut. So all our happy hormones and our anti-anxiety hormones start in our gut, not in our brain. They just work on the brain, but the drugstore is the gut.
That is such a good metaphor for it. The drugstore is the gut.
Yeah, I should trademark that one too, right? It's so true.
You have to get this information out there. It's so important for people to understand your gut is the gateway to health in every major system in the body. And because of how our culture has really derailed the way that we grow our food and access food and process it, we're all sort of starting on the back foot here. And we're decades into this problem, right? I mean, this really took off after World War II. We had that oil surplus that turned, you know, petrochemicals, you know, we had to do something with them. So I'm like, hey, if we spray these on the fields, the plants look greener and bigger, but that doesn't mean they're more nutrient dense. They're just more profitable.
Right. It's so true.
So now we're like three generations into this whole experiment where the drugstore in our gut is really out of whack and the supply chain has been off for a long time. So what do you have to say to that for folks who are like, okay, yeah, I'm starting to see the problem. I'm making the connections. You know, I too have Lyme or fibromyalgia, or I've been dealing with a chronic illness for a while, and I wasn't as clear as I am now about, you know, how I have more control over this starting in the gut, but now what?
You know, it's interesting the way this all wraps around too, for me, especially in my journey, I looked at the gut and I looked at the brain because my brain wasn't working and the gut was the key. But also when you look at brain detoxification, right? We have this thing called the glymphatic system. And it's so critical because this is like the lymphatics in the rest of the body specific for the brain. And so it has to do primarily, we're detoxifying during deep sleep. And a lot of our drainage is around cranial nerves. So actually through our nose, 20 to 30% around the vagus nerve, huge amounts. So having all these areas open and moving, like working with an osteopath or another manual medicine practitioner can help. But the reason that I wanted to circle back in and bring in a little bit of direct brain detoxification is because so many of our mold and our Bartonellas and our pandas negatively impact the brain, but we have so much control over the factors that contribute to brain detoxification. So things that are really important are sleep, movement, but the other parts are hydration, right? Food choices. Intermittent fasting has actually been, and I mean, this isn't hardcore intermittent fasting. Fasting for 12 hours every other day has been shown to improve brain detoxification. That's not that hard to not eat for 12 hours every other day.
Especially right? If you're sleeping for most of that.
And you should be if you want your brain to detox, right? Yeah, it's cool. So 8 to 9 hours of it should be sleep. So now you only got 3 hours that you don't have to eat. I mean, this is easy. And the reason I start there is you can do this at home. You don't need to pay somebody for this. I needed 30%. I needed my doctors, right? Most of us will need a healthcare practitioner to support us, mostly to keep us accountable and to be more objective. But you can do so much at home. So I'm always like, hey, your food choices are really critical. Omega-3s have been shown to both repair the gut and the brain. And so for those of us who are okay with eating fish products, that can be helpful, you know, and you can use your plant alternatives, but they're really, really helpful. And believe it or not, a moderate amount of alcohol, meaning like the one drink a day, maybe two, actually can improve brain detoxification. The only problem is then you may be knocking off some of the good bacteria in your gut. So that one's kind of more of an individual thing. But ultimately what I see, especially in Lyme disease, there's a lot of research on how you take back control over your autonomics. One of the most well-known measures is heart rate variability. So the beat-to-beat changes in your heart that occur with breathing and regular activity. And the thing is, Lyme will ruin the respiratory control of the vagus nerve over the heart. So what you can do is you can go back and you can trump that by doing breath awareness meditations, right? And so you can start with easy things like breathing and just focusing on it. Then when you look at what meditation can do for people, it's just unbelievable, Sinclair. I mean, like people are like, oh, I can't sleep. Well, guess what? We can fix sleep. We can fix melatonin levels with consistent meditation. And this is what I found. It didn't matter if I slept 4 hours or 12 hours, but when I removed the Coca-Cola as a food group and I started doing the meditation, all of a sudden, somehow my sleep started to get better, right? And I'm like, wait a second here. I just basically focused on being calmer, but naturally, I didn't fight it. I did programs that helped guide me to the place of the nervous system calming down in a way that was right for me. Mm-hmm. Because like I remember as we're talking, if I sat down, I thought I'd never get up. But it sounds like on your end, like if you didn't lay down, you were going to drop.
Right.
Right. And so there's always something a little bit different for everybody. And I just got so into what meditation can do because it changed my life before I even knew I was doing it. Right. I was doing this physical sort of almost like a walking slash yoga meditation. And then I was able to sit. And then the more I got into it, the better my sleep was. Lo and behold, the better my sleep was, the more energy I had, the better my brain was. And then I found a lot of really good research showing improvement in the prefrontal area and the frontal cortex in the brain. And then one of the places that I know a lot of people, and especially if you're like me, there's a lot of anger and resentment that goes along with having a chronic illness, talking to a bunch of medical providers who basically diss you, right? And whether it's real or perceived, this is the problem with trauma, right? It's real or perceived. So if you go to a medical provider and you feel betrayed by them, even if they didn't mean it, it is legit, real, and it's something you have to work on. So there's
this. And now you're holding that in your body.
And you're holding it in your mind, and you're holding it very much in lots of your body. Three main parts, right? In your gut, in the solar plexus, you're holding it in the anterior cingulate gyrus and some other parts of this limbic system, which the good news is meditation helps release that, and you're holding it in your heart.
Mm.
That's like the biggest immune and creative organ we have.
I can relate to everything you're saying. I'm sure so many of our listeners can too, whether they're just at the beginning of their health journey or they're, you know, summit junkies looking for that one nugget in this interview that's going to help them get just a little bit further. I very much felt left for dead by the medical community and, you know, the specialists not listening and misdiagnoses and all of that. And I really only had like one 15-minute meditation track that I could stand and I would just do it over and over and over again. I could not quiet my mind, but I could calm down a little bit with it.
You know, what's really cool is I've been doing meditation for a really long ass time now. I mean, yeah, once you know it works so well, you don't, you kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to invest more in that. My mind is never off. That's one of the things I think that people are like, oh yeah, meditation, sure. Meditation has been shown to turn off breast cancer genes, right?
Isn't that amazing?
So, hey, I mean, if you don't want to do free stuff at home that can change everything, don't meditate. But what's really interesting is it's simple and there's a lot of misnomers about it. And I learned this the hard way, right? And that's why I'm so passionate about teaching people about it. We could go on and on and on about how the sympathetics and the parasympathetics work and polyvagal theory and all this other crap. But when you boil it down, is you have an amazing power right within you to take action today by simply paying attention to your breath, then bringing that awareness into your heart, and then ultimately having that breath awareness in your heart with some gratitude. It has been clinically shown to improve heart rate variability. Low heart rate variability means you're old. It means you're falling apart. It means your immune system sucks and you're a bucket of stress. And if you want to have a vital life and you want to have great immune reactions, you want to have resilience in the face of stress and you want to be happy, and that's high heart rate variability. And so all the wearables are checking all this, but you don't need to do it all. You can do it at home. And what I found was that's all well and good, but like you, if I could put on a track that would guide me. And a lot of what I like is I like where they have tracks with like really cool music that I can vibe with. and even some binaural beats that will help adjunctively sort of like bring my brain waves down so I can
drive the bus into the right lane.
If you're driving on the left side of the road in the US, you're probably gonna, you know, it's not gonna go so well.
It has problems.
Right. So, but one of the things with it is you don't have to worry about whether it's working or not. So the process of meditation is one of doing, right? So it's as long as you do it, it works all the time. You may feel, and I've had a lot of different teachers tell me this, like when I'm like, oh man, that was like the worst meditation ever. They're like, that's the one you needed the most. And it's when you train your body to sit there and just allow life to occur and be a little less judgmental than you were the previous moment, you open up this world of freedom. Like for me, it's about space. Something happens and I immediately react. Next day, something happens, there's a little pause and then I react. And then I just keep getting more and more space. And then I'm sitting here going, all these thoughts, they're wonderful. I choose to accept that one. And these, I just choose to let them keep going because my brain is doing amazing things for me all the time. Mm-hmm. My immune system is doing amazing things for me all the time. My gut is hurting right now. I choose to focus on that or not. And every time I choose to focus on it for half a second less, I create a little space where healing can get in. It's a crack. So it's a process. And as you know, I love my definition of meditation, right? Most people, it's focus and all this. No, it's to become
empty,
familiar
be empty.
With.
Yeah,
be empty,
like
completely.
Never gonna happen. Yeah.
Samadhi, right? So let's become familiar with this state that we want to be in. And it doesn't say perfectly in line with it. It's like one iota more familiar with it. Be in that state where you can see the possibility of healing. Just an increment, very small micron of possibility. And just say, wow, I believe in that possibility just a hair more. Because then you get compound interest. And that's the key of meditation.
Well, you know that I vibe with this. Dr. Chama and I met at a conference together, actually a retreat for healthcare practitioners. And as soon as we figured out that we shared a very compatible life stories and approaches in our practices, we actually got right down to business and we created a meditation platform together for people that are working on their health, because we can think of no better use of our time and gifts than to make this accessible to everybody. So well, I know that you are sharing some amazing gifts with us today. And then you and I have created something to also share with folks. Do you want to explain that for people?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think all of this between the platform we've created and the free gift here is it's all about made by people who have had chronic illness, very much like yours, and recovered 100%, who are now distilling over a decade each of going through this process, trial and error, so that you have the opportunity to use these. So the gift that I want to give everybody is a thing called Relax and Reboot. And it's just a really nice short ebook where I go through three really key exercises. I go in the depth about breathing awareness, meditation, and incorporating gratitude into it. Talk about a couple of ways that you can loosen up your upper neck, especially specifically to open up the vagus, just with simple eye movements. And then an old school osteopathic thing that you can do, believe it or not, lying down. All you need to do is lie down. And there's a specific position to put your body in, which is very comfortable. And it is one of the greatest things you can do for your nervous system and rebooting your immune system. And everybody can do it. So there's different levels. Try out these in Relax and Reboot. Figure out which one works. Play around with all of them and go from there.
Thanks so much for sharing with us, Dr. Tom. It's always a joy to teach and create with you. And you guys can also check out Meditation RX.
And if you want a little tip, I almost forgot. Like, we're in such a giving mood, you know. It's like one of the things we want to do is we're going to pull out one of our, I have a 10-minute rapid release stress busting meditation. Anytime it's designed for during the day, you know, you're about to go off the cliff, you're about to lose your mind, you're about to fall over, and you need a reboot. Just go into the restroom, put in the earphones, and take an extra long break. And, you know, we'll include that with the Relax and Reboot download. And that way, everybody can get a little sense of what we do in Meditation RX.
Thanks so much for including that. It's so fun to do this with you. Everybody, you know where to find Dr. Tom based in the notes. And thanks so much for sharing your story with us. Thanks for listening. Go to detoxrejuvenation.com to find the links in the show notes to everything we covered in this episode. Please subscribe, review, and share with other humans who need this precious information. Let's help each other. Until next time, love, Sinclair.